Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm Spencer Chase. Our guest this week is American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall, who joins us to discuss the year ahead and the group's upcoming convention. But first, here's this week's headlines. Farmers are showing less and less concern about inflation. In the latest Ag Economy Barometer from Purdue University and the CME Group, 70% of producers surveyed believe inflation will be less than 4% this year. That's far more moderate than the previous year, when 50% expected inflation to be 6% or higher. Input costs remain the top concern for farmers headed into the new year, followed by lower crop and livestock prices. Speaking of inflation, grocery prices could actually trend lower this year. USDA's latest food price outlook estimates supermarket prices will be down by just over 0.5% this year. Economists believe prices for eggs and fruits and vegetables will continue to go down. But eating out could be a different story. The report shows prices are expected to rise by nearly 5% as restaurants deal with higher labor costs. And finally, the new year means new issues are top of mind on Capitol Hill. There will be a partial government shutdown on January 19th if lawmakers can't agree on fiscal year 2024 appropriations bills. The rest of the government is funded through February 2nd. There's also the Farm Bill, which will need to be addressed in 2024 either through new legislation or another extension. Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall says the organization hopes to see Congress address as much as it can, as quickly as it can.
Well, we know that they got a lot of things on their plate, but one of the main things that we hope they'll be talking about is a new farm bill. We were very pleased that when the new speaker was appointed on day one, he prioritized getting the farm bill done and how important it was. So that gives us a good indication that they will be focusing in that area. And we're going to be working really hard to make sure that our members let their representatives know that it is important to get it done and get it done now. It's urgent that they do it now. So that, along with funding for the federal government and so many things that they'll be talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned funding for the federal government. Of course, that is a looming issue with that January 19th deadline. And there seems to be some folks on Capitol Hill right now say they're not excited about considering another continuing resolution. But obviously, as we all know, it's going to be a pretty tight timeline to move individual appropriations bills within that time frame. But with that CR comes the possibility of spending cuts per the McCarthy-Biden deal of last year. So where would Farm Bureau stand on the concept of spending cuts through the government funding process?
Well, you know, from an agricultural point of view and knowing what has happened in the last 3 or 4 years of this last Farm Bill, we realized that the cost of producing the food and keeping our food system secure has escalated tremendously. And for the Farm Bill to really be a true safety net for our food system, we have to modernize it. And that means look at what it actually does provide during difficult times, whether it be marketing, whether it be weather, whatever the challenge might be out there, and to ensure to the American people that the food system is going to be stable and sustainable for the future. And so any cuts is going to be detrimental to agriculture in our rural communities. And we have a difficult time supporting those cuts.
Mm-hmm. I want to also talk about the Farm Bill and your upcoming convention. But before we do that, obviously, you and I both know Farm Bureau has long had an issue trying to correct the nation's agricultural workforce challenges. Wonder, does 2024 present itself as a year to address agricultural labor?
Well, when you look and see what's going on at the border and all the discussion about the open border and all the additional people coming in, we know that they'll have to have a conversation around that issue. And hopefully in that process that we could find some solutions to have a sustainable workforce for agriculture and what that might look like. It is It is the biggest limiting factor that American agriculture has.
On the farm bill, some folks have toyed with the idea of looking at the nutrition title, pursuing cuts in that part of the farm bill as a way to bolster commodity program support. I know the Urban and Rural Coalition has been so important for farm bills for quite a while, and Farm Bureau has been active on that front. So what would Farm Bureau think about the idea of nutrition cuts to support commodity programs?
Well, our interest is in the agricultural part of the farm bill, and we're not really going to take a position in taking away from what is a very good program, which is a nutrition program that is just as important than the security of our food system. So we know that they have the data and the information on what they can and can't do in that area. Our focus is mainly on making sure that we protect our risk management tools and continuing to provide market-driven, incentive-based solutions to climate and conservation, and make sure our research and development dollars is being spent in the right way to be able to keep us on the cutting edge and expanding our trade opportunities around the world.
On the point of the Urban and Rural Coalition, wondering, I know you took part in an event last year with FMI, with Feeding America. Wondering, what are your thoughts on kind of the health of the Urban and Rural Coalition headed into deliberations for this next farm bill?
Oh, I think we've done a lot of work in building coalitions in a lot of different areas on a lot of different subjects, but especially in the area of the farm bill, where we have a Farm Bill for American Families that we're all supporting and trying to put the information out to the general public to make everybody understand how important the Farm Bill is to each individual that lives in our country and a lot of people that live outside of our country.
We'll discuss the upcoming American Farm Bureau Convention with President Zippy Duvall right after this.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of our space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Welcome back. American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall says he's expecting an active policy development process when his members convene in Salt Lake City.
You know, I'll never, as president of American Farm Bureau, get out in front of our voting delegates. But, just to take a measuring stick of what I'm hearing as I go across the country, I think there'll be some discussion around farmland ownership, whether it deals with the data that's being collected and how whether or not it's correct and sufficient enough to make some decisions in that area, whether it be actual ownership by other countries or whether it be just positioning of new renewable energy and how they're put out on the land. So I think that'll be one big discussion. I think we've already had our discussion, a lot of our discussion around labor. I think that'll continue. Trade and taxes is always one of the areas that we have a lot of discussion in. But so I think it'll be a really lively discussion on the delegate floor. You never know until you go in that convention and let all those delegates have their voice heard as to where they're going to direct us. They will set the tone for next year and put our roadmap back in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Considering the fact that the Farm Bill conversation remains ongoing, you're going to head into another convention, another policy resolutions process. I do wonder, do you think Farm Bureau's Farm Bill policies could end up being changed or tweaked in any manner as a result of conversations that happen in Salt Lake City?
I think if we do, it'd be very minor. I think our real focus around the Farm Bill is going to be to encourage our members to stay engaged, letting Congress and their congressional representatives understand how urgent it is for us to get this done early in the year. for many different reasons. One, politically, when we get into the presidential election, it'll be very difficult to have that conversation. But our farmers, our rural communities, our lending institutions, they need certainty of what that farm bill is going to look like.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say you need to get it done early. You know, obviously the legislative climate is still brewing a little bit here in the early part of 2024. But I guess I will ask you, what would an extension of the farm bill for another year, at some point in 2024, what would another farm bill extension mean for your membership?
Well, you know, the past farm bill was very successful. It served us well. But we all know that the cost of us producing food and keeping the food system for our country secure has escalated tremendously. That means that this farm bill needs to be modernized. It means it needs to deal with agriculture in the modern cost of production. And if it's going to be a true safety net, it has to reflect that. So I think another extension will be very detrimental to agriculture. We need to get it done. We need to get it done now.
I want to wrap up our conversation on this train of thought. Obviously, Farm Bureau, prides itself on being a grassroots organization and having involvement all the way up. But what do you think needs to be done to get more folks, Farm Bureau members or otherwise, involved in policy discussions that take place in Washington, Farm Bill, government funding, what have you? What do you think it's going to take to get more folks in rural America using their voice on some of these issues?
Well, you know, we do a lot of work in that area, Spencer, and making sure that not only do we try to involve them, but we try to train them, give people confidence of being a good advocate for agriculture in their rural communities. But I think, you know, as farmers and ranchers, we're busy, you know, we're hands-on, we work with our hands, or a lot of areas where it's dirty and dusty. But the new technologies we carry around in our pocket, we got to pull it out. We got to share our story. We got a great story to share. We're the most trusted industry, most trusted profession in the country, according to the studies that we've done. And we need to show people what we're doing, how we're doing it, the good side of agriculture, the great stories in agriculture, the sustainability stories, and the trials that we go through, and what the Farm Bill actually does for each American out there. It provides a secure country with secure food system that everybody can go home and know that they can have available healthy food that they can afford for their families.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, appreciate the time, President Duvall. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back to hear from this week's panel. But first, our Hannah Pegel walks us through some changes in the nation's hog inventory in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
We have good news for bacon lovers. The American hog inventory is trending higher. This chart shows the cyclical nature of the figures for each year, including for 2023. In December, USDA reported a total hog and pig inventory of 75 million head. That represented a slight decrease from the September report, but a bit of an increase over December 2022. Breeding inventory went up 3%, suggesting more hogs are on the way. The figures come as the hog industry adapts to new steps in the implementation of California's Proposition 12 animal housing law. Prop 12 sets animal housing standards for pork sold in the state, no matter where it is produced. This year, any farm must have Prop 12 certification to sell pork in California, which will remove many producers from the state's grocery shelves. For AgriPulse, I'm Hannah Pagel.
Did you know AgriPulse has all your favorite podcasts, including Open Mic, Newsmakers, and Drive Time? Take us wherever you go. Subscribe at AgriPulse.com or on Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts.
Agriculture Future of America is a nonprofit building transformational leaders in food and agriculture. AFA prepares college students to join the workforce as innovative and engaged young professionals who will shape the future of agriculture. Head to agfuture.org to find out how you can get involved.
At our family farm, we grow rice, corn, and soybeans. And digital tools are as important to us as tractors and combines. In the 30 years I've been farming, technology has transformed agriculture. But some in Washington want to stifle these technologies and empower our foreign adversaries to leap ahead of us in the tech race. Protecting our competitive edge will strengthen our economic, national, and food security. Our leaders need to support American agriculture by strengthening our technology.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers, going to continue our conversation on what lies ahead in 2024 with our panel that we've convened here today, joined by Ethan Lane from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and Mike Strands from the National Farmers Union. Appreciate both of you taking the time. And Ethan, I want to go to you first, because obviously the congressional calendar is what it is in reality, but in practicality, it might be a little bit different. So I wonder, kind of as you look ahead to the fact that there are elections coming up, that there is still a long list of legislative things that need to be accomplished, you know, agriculture or otherwise, what do you think that ultimately means for the legislative environment on Capitol Hill this year?
Well, we always take kind of a different view of an election year, especially a presidential election year, because, you know, you kind of get that rush of activity to show your work on Capitol Hill, for lack of a better description, in the first 6 months of the year. But by June, people's attention really starts to shift to that election map and getting out on the road and talking to voters and making their case to return to Congress. And in a presidential year, that means also sort of trying to figure out how to interact with the presidential race, which I think anyone watching TV knows is quite a spectacle this time around. So I think that definitely means there's a lot of pressure on not just the next 2 weeks with that funding deadline that's looming, but kind of what we're going to see out of this Congress before, you know, before we get into that summer season. You know, once we get to that point, it's going to be very difficult to be talking substantively about a farm bill. It's going to be very difficult to be talking substantively about anybody else's legislative priorities. And you know, we'll kind of go into that hunker down mode for a few months. So I expect the next few months to be very busy because of that calendar.
So considering the busyness that will need to happen in the front half of this year, just considering the legislative calendar, as you mentioned, what can agriculture accomplish in that environment?
Well, I think there's still a tremendous focus on that appropriations process, that ag appropriations bill that stalled out in September. I think still contains quite a bit of work for a lot of different folks in the industry, whether it be the cattle industry, other parts of agriculture. You know, given the extension we're operating under in the farm bill and you know, the varying prognostications on what can get done this year on the farm bill, you know, before the presidential election, that puts a lot of pressure, I think, on the next 2 weeks and what can get done in that agaprobes bill. You know, it starts to feel at a certain point like that's one of the last trains leaving the station in this Congress, you know, not the least of which because of those narrow margins that make it difficult for anyone to advance anything through the House in particular, but the Senate as well.
Well, and Mike, I'm curious your thoughts here as well. You know, we've talked with Ethan about kind of the legislative calendar, the election year dynamics, but I wonder, how do you think those factors, those twin factors, will influence kind of just the kind of tone and tenor of Capitol Hill, the executive branch, really the work of Washington here in 2024?
Sure. I think Ethan's spot on about the need to show work and show what you've accomplished right before the election. What has to happen here in the next couple of weeks is more or less to clear the decks on the appropriations process. There's been a lot of debate, there's been a lot of work, there's been votes. Some of the parts of the appropriations bills, you know, got a lot of attention and a lot of opposition. The fact that the bill failed back in September might be an indication that it's just time to move through that and to get that obstacle cleared so that we can move on with the agriculture debate and discussion around the farm bill that needs to happen soon. So it's time to clear the decks, and I think one place where we can do that is by getting the appropriations bill done quickly and expeditiously without any shutdown. I'm hopeful that can happen, but not convinced that it will. After that, though, it's on to the farm bill, and I think the windows of opportunity are going to be coming up quickly. March, April is the time for that.
We'll have more from our panel right after this.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
Welcome back. There's no shortage of political disagreement in Washington these days, but National Farmers Union lobbyist Mike Strand says that could work in the Farm Bill's advantage.
I think when there's a bipartisan opportunity, a chance to move to the middle on getting a Farm Bill done, that's when it does best. We've seen that time and time again. And I think that the desire to show work, there's no choice but to have a bipartisan Farm Bill. If we're going to do it, it has to be bipartisan. So this is the time to get it done. The conditions might actually work well for that outcome. So hopefully that those tight margins might be a good friend for the Farm Bill.
Well, and Mike, let's look off the Hill for a hot minute here as we look at some of the regulations, some of the administrative activity that is going on, USDA, EPA, FDA, what have you. Any particular executive branch activity you and NFU will be watching here this year?
Sure. Just like with the Farm Bill experience of learning from the last 5 years, in which a lot of stuff happened, and putting those lessons learned into effect. The administration's been doing that, particularly on competition. We saw what happens when our food system is stretched thin and challenged, and when we have a system that isn't very competitive or very resilient, things can turn awry pretty quickly. So the administration's work on the Packers and Stockyards Act has been a huge boost. We're going to keep pushing for more of that to finalize some of those rules and put them into effect. So we're keeping a close eye on that in the months ahead.
Mm-hmm. And Ethan, wrapping up with you, and maybe looking outside of strictly the Beltway as we have for the majority of this conversation, I wonder any particular bellwethers that you as a DC lobbyist are going to be watching to kind of tell you how the election winds are going to be blowing here in 2024, not necessarily just in the race for the White House, but in deciding the majorities of the House and Senate. Any indicators you're going to be keeping an eye on?
You know, I think it's always concerning when you get into this season where politicians are trying to play to the crowd. And whether that's, as Mike mentioned, some of these competition issues where, you have some solutions that maybe are worse than the problem, or whether you have, saber rattling over larger national issues and dire implications being alluded to by politicians on both sides. In order to stir up votes and capture attention, that's always a little bit of a dangerous environment. You have a president right now who's running behind in the polls, who's concerned about that election environment. You worry about Hail Marys. You worry about bad regulations and policy coming out of an administration like that that's trying to put some points on the board. We're going to be watching that closely and making sure that, speaking on behalf of the largest collection of cattle producers in any organization in the country, that we're voicing their thoughts and their opinions on what a free market needs to look like, what competition needs to look like, and what fairness in that marketplace needs to look like. So I think we're going to try to keep our focus on that as much as possible over what will be a pretty choppy couple months, I have no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly no shortage of things for us to discuss. It'll be a very interesting year for the purpose of the Farm Bill, the government funding process, and of course that November election. A lot of things to watch as this year will continue to unfold. And Ethan and Mike, thanks for joining us. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers. But first, our Hannah Pegel walks us through the geography of a shifting policy landscape.
More states are legalizing marijuana for recreational use. That's the case for 24 states shaded in green, as well as the District of Columbia. It's illegal in the 19 states shaded in yellow, and it's decriminalized in the 7 states shaded in blue. In those states, possessing cannabis is still illegal, but punishments have either been eliminated or reduced to civil penalties. Since 2020, 14 states decided to legalize recreational marijuana, including 3 just last year: Delaware, Minnesota, and Ohio. It's also important to note this graphic shows recreational use. Several states have legalized medical use of marijuana, but have not loosened other restrictions. For AgriPulse, I'm Hannah Pagel.
It's not as simple just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
The Senate and House Ag Committees are busy working on the next Farm Bill, which will cover commodities, specialty crops, livestock, and more. This legislation will impact every farmer, rancher, and rural business for the next 5 years. Make sure you don't miss insights and analytics that only AgriPulse and its top-notch team of well-connected experts can provide. Register today for a free trial at agripulse.com and click the subscribe button, or email us at pam@agri-pulse.com. You don't want to miss this Farm Bill coverage.
Thanks again for tuning in for another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for the upcoming week. Congress will return to town to begin its 2024 work. We'll get the latest inflation figures from the Consumer Price Index on Thursday. And USDA will release several things on Friday, including the monthly world agriculture supply and demand estimates and annual crop production report. You can check out the latest in farm policy news on our website, agripulse.com. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Spencer Chase. Have a good one.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. For more ag policy news, visit agripulse.com. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more.